The potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's submission to his will. He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some fire. The potter knows the clay. Friend, I just came through that fire not so very long ago, and looking back I can see why, and that my God was in control. Because the potter knows the clay, how much pressure it can take, how many times around the wheel, till there's... He's planned a beautiful design, but it'll take some...
All right. Thank you, Sister Martin. Tell you what, sometimes when things are really going good for us, we ought to remember it's not going good for someone else. There are folks going through the fire. As I look at our congregation and as I read all these prayer requests and keep up with things, always somebody's going through the fire. Amen. Thank you, Leah, for that good message and song. It's my privilege this morning to have a missionary to England, one we've known for a long time. We call him our missionary, Brother B.J. Stagner. He pastored here in the States. Brother Stagner, I've said this before, and I might say it a little bit wrong here. Sometimes people get the idea that just the undereducated, just those that aren't really in the top class of society, believe like we do. That's not the case. The man that'll speak to us this morning, a missionary to England now, was in, I'm going to call it the medical field. He may could straighten me out here, but had a great practice and a great education behind it. And God called him to be a missionary. And so sometimes the world is just dead wrong on the way they measure things. Let me have the family stand. I was kidding them a while ago. I was going to make them get up and sing, but they probably could. But I was joking with the boys about it. I wish they'd grow a little taller. But good-looking family here, serving the Lord over in England. I'm sure they're full of jet lag. Now, it's your dad preaching, don't go to sleep this morning. I know they got in at 1:30 a.m., and they're in here. We appreciate it. Good to have you all come. Brother Stagner, let you be seated. Brother Stagner, you come on and speak to us as God leads you. Appreciate you being with us today. Amen.
Well, amen. What a blessing it is to be here this morning. I'm going to ask your forgiveness. I'm going to use my iPad for my notes. I don't quite like doing that. I'm still a paper guy. I enjoy something that I can grab a hold of. But as Dr. Carter said, we got in at 1:30 this morning, and no printer. I had to go up to McDonald's and get my notes in order so I could piggyback on the internet so I could move it over from the computer to this thing. But Boy, we're suffering, aren't we? I know. There's some churches out there. Some guys are meeting this morning somewhere with only two leaflets of the Bible, amen, and probably going to do a much better job than I'm going to do, but it is a blessing to be here today. I tell you, you got a great pastor, amen. You got a great church. And I just told the boys as Sunday school was over with, I said I could sit under his preaching and teaching for 7 days a week. And I thought, well, I actually did that because for years on end, I had always had the tape sent up to me on a monthly basis. And so wherever I went, he went, amen. And I can almost tell some of his stories. Might even get them a little better sometime. I don't know. Remember the first offer he said when he first took a church, I think it was your first church you took, the offering was $125 that day. And they were going to pay him out of that offer, and I've remembered that, amen. And but what a blessing. It is good to be back in the States and for just a couple of weeks. And you pray for us. We'll be in the midst of a youth camp down in Southwest Florida here starting this afternoon. And get over here. I get to let my hair down just a little bit when I preach. And that's kind of fun, as you can tell. We let it down the drain, that is. But anyway, that's the way that goes. I'm going to ask you to open your Bibles up to the book of Acts. And we're going to be in Acts 26, and we'll be there in just a moment. But I do want to thank Landmark Baptist Church. Thank Dr. Carter, an absolute mentor of mine. He gave me a load of his books, Things That Are Different, Not the Same, years ago. I've passed every one of those out to people who need to learn about the King James Bible. And maybe you say, well, why don't you give them a big, heavy book? Because they're just like you. They're not going to read a big, heavy book, amen? And they don't need to. I think the best book written on the topic other than the Bible itself is Dr. Carter's book. And it has been a gem for us over there. We actually had a young man and his family show up to our church here about a month and a half ago. And one of the first things he said when he came through the door was, he said, you're King James, right? And that's the first time in nearly 4 years everybody ever said that. To me, I said, yeah, it kind of took me for a loop. And I gave him your book as well. He's been saved 4 years, and they're joining with our church down south. We have two churches now, thanks to your sacrifice and the hand of God. We were able to start two churches over there in Wales. We did it within the first 2 years, and they're doing well. But we're wide open. God's blessed us. He's given us the opportunity. We're 7 days a week, guys, to be honest with you. There are no off days. We have a morning service on Tuesday morning. We have two services on Wednesday, a youth club service on Friday night, a food co-op service that my wife does that one on Friday morning. Once a month on Saturday, we have a gym ministry where we bring people into one of my friend's gyms there and put them through a workout, make them sweat nearly to death, and they throw up and all that good stuff. And then they get to sit down for about 20 minutes and hear me preach, amen. And so 4 years ago, if you'd asked me, I've been preaching in the middle of a gym floor, I would have laughed. And but anyway, God has opened up doors that I could have never opened up at all. But guys, we're there because of your sacrificial giving, and I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you've given to missions, and I thank you for your church and for your pastor, amen. Acts chapter 26 is where we're going to be this morning, and pick up with me, if you will, there in verse 9. Now, if you're willing and able to, I'm going to ask you to stand as we honor the reading of the Word of God, and if you can't do that, there's no harm, no foul. But the Bible says in Acts 26, begin with me in verse 9, it says, and I verily thought within myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus Christ, which thing I also did in Jerusalem, and many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priest. When they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme, and being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus with authority and commission from the chief priest at midday, O king, I saw in the way a light from heaven above the brightness of the sun, shining round about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me and saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee. to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Father in heaven, we thank you, dear God, for the blessed opportunity to be here in your house this morning. And Father, we thank you for the precious gift that you gave unto us in the day that we decided to choose you freely, Lord, by the moving and conviction of the Holy Spirit of God as our Lord and Savior, and receive that gift of the free pardon of sin. So, Father, I pray this morning that we could stir some hearts, dear God. I pray that the Holy Spirit of God would move through this sanctuary, and anyone anywhere listening to this message by whatever venue it may be, I pray you touch them and move them. And Lord, if there be one soul here this morning, one soul within earshot that knows you not as Lord and Savior, maybe they're standing at the crossroads at Rhodes at this very moment, I pray you move upon them, dear God. I pray you save their souls and make this day, Lord God, be a changing day for the rest of their life. Lord, we love you. We thank you in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Amen. Thank you so much for standing along for reading. Be seated if you will. In all fairness, outside of Jesus Christ, the Apostle Paul is my number one biblical hero. I pastored in Tennessee for 12 years, and I taught on Paul's life in our adult Sunday school class for 5 years, 2 months, and 8 days. I went over across the pond, and for a year and a half, I retaught that lesson during our Wednesday morning Bible study class, and it's been a tremendous blessing. He is my biblical hero outside of Jesus Christ, and I don't say that flippantly this morning. I don't say that as if there's no competition, because if you look at the level of competition that Paul is dealing with, and I mean, there's so many examples in the Word of God, so many examples of men in the Word of God. Now, guys, when I say men, I'm not talking about males, all right? Now, despite, you know, popular thoughts today, a male is a male and a female is a female. Amen? I mean, you know, I don't get how you don't know which toilet to go to. One wears a dress, the other one does not. Amen? And a kilt's not a dress, by the way. You know, it's not a Scottish restroom guys can go into. I just don't understand that thing. But when I say men, I mean men. Amen. We remember that phrase, a man's man. That means something different today. But I mean a man's man, somebody that you could look up to. I mean, men in the Bible, were they compassionate? Yeah, compassionate men. Loving men, yes. Dedicated men, yes. Committed men, absolutely. But I'm talking about men, guys. Men who wasn't afraid to stand. They wasn't afraid to be a man in society. They're willing to grab the bull by the horns, if you will, to get a job done. I look at Paul. And that's the kind of man that I see. I mean, we have guys today growing up and boys are growing up with zero responsibility, zero manhood, zero backbone, zero fortitude. Yes. I'm just talking about a man today that somebody can look at and say, you know what, that's a good example for me to follow. You know, in the past several months, speaking of the competition that Paul may run into, if you will, to be someone's hero, past several months, my morning Bible studies and devotion time for my personal reading has been in the Old Testament, and I love reading the Old Testament. I mean, I really do. I got to be honest with you, Dr. Carter. I mean, I don't take any of the Word of God for any kind of mistake. Brother Carter talked about Jehovah's Witness this morning, and they changed one comma, and they changed an entire doctrine, amen, of being absent from the body, present with the Lord. But right. But I'll tell you what, I read through the Old Testament, and I laugh at times. I mean, there's times I go, good night, man. You know, people spend millions and millions and millions of dollars and pounds a year to go and be entertained by a bunch of idiots from Hollywood. Read the Bible if you want some entertainment. I mean, I love Westerns, but there's not a Western one that holds to some of the pages of the Old Testament. I mean, I look at men such as Abraham, who the Bible says he staggered not at the promise, but walked up that Mount Moriah, the very place where our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ would one day be crucified and was willing to give up his only son God had called to. I mean, I think of a man like that. I think of a man like Moses, who spent 40 years thinking he was someone, then spent another 40 years finding out he was a no one, and at 80 years of old goes into Egypt, amen, and says, "Let my people go, Pharaoh." I think of men, you know, some of my favorites, like a Joshua. Joshua stood with his own testimony, with his own history, with his own backbone, and claimed, "As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." Yes. I think of Caleb. Caleb is one of my favorites. I think Caleb is overlooked quite often. I mean, the Bible says, Caleb, that proclaimed, lo, I am this day 85 years old, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the days that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now, for war, both to go out and to come in. 85 years old, and he was ready to put on the gloves and go at it, amen. I look at men like that, and I'm like, where have they gone? Yeah. Now, who can forget, definitely one of my favorites is Gideon. Now, when we hear about Gideon and his mighty men of 300 and this or that, but one of my favorite verses, and it just made me laugh. He said, therefore, when the Lord had delivered Zebah and Zalmunna into mine hand, then I will tear your flesh with the thorns of the wilderness and with briars. Now, I'm going to tell you what. Now, I don't know if you read the rest of Judges chapter 8. He went and caught those kings, dealt with them, went back to those princes, that city that wouldn't help him. And guess what he did? He ripped their flesh off with thorns and with briars. Now, that's encouraging now, isn't it? Amen. I mean, the list could go on and on and on. Elijah, who defeated 450 prophets of Baal, who calls down fire from heaven. I mean, you look at Elisha over there, who prayed to God, the Lord, open their eyes of these men that they may see, and the chariots of fire about them. And who can forget him calling two she-bears down to rip up these children, 42 pieces. Somebody asked me about the 42 pieces. I said, that was just judgment, amen. In all honesty, I could spend hours just mentioning men from the Bible who fit the qualification that I would call a hero. But in all the world today that we're living in, and the world that we're living in today where men are hurting and having a worthy title, really hurting and being able to earn the title of hero, we can go to the Word of God. But then there's Paul. I mean, a man reared up at the feet of Gamaliel, Israel's finest teacher. A man so driven for religion that he was willing to have those who named the name of Christ torn from their homes, ripped out of there, thrown into prison, forced them to blaspheme, was consenting unto their death, was how zealous he was of his religion. But just as Moses staggered not at the promise, or Abraham staggered not at the promise, Paul never let grass grow under his feet. Y'all familiar with that saying? My dad told me, he told me that when I was a kid. He goes, son, don't let grass grow on your feet. Be moving all the time. And I was a hyper kid. I don't know why that advice he gave me, but anyway. I mean, from day one, Paul stood up and was busy for the Lord. Now, I want to speak to you on this topic this morning. I promise I'm not going to go long. But I want to speak to you on the topic of setting the tone. I was a ball player. Many of you probably know that. I don't know if those that's heard me preach before, I usually use a lot of football illustrations. I'm looking forward to 70 days from now when college football starts back up. Hey, man, I'm not counting down at all. But anyway, every time you mention football over there, they think soccer, and it's just annoying. But anyway, it is what it is. But I played ball for many years. I was a college ball player. And our coaches taught us to set the tone from play one. Now, what that means is, and ladies, excuse me, I'm not trying to be vulgar or anything like that. Men will understand this, amen. Now, if you're a man here or a soccer player today, you won't understand this. But anyway, don't get offended by that. That's how you upset the crowd. So anyway, our coaches taught us to set the tone from the very first play. And he taught us to set it for the first play like this, knock the snot bubbles out of them. From the very first play, you hit the guy across from you as hard as you can where snot bubbles came out of his nose. That's what you did. Now, I was an inside linebacker, and if you were a tight end and you came across my area on a pass on the first play of the game, I would hit you so hard that you forget your mama's name. That was my goal, was to hit you and let you know that you're coming across my territory. And here's the reason why. Because if I hit you that hard and the play's way over there, but I knock the snot out of you right here, the next time the quarterback says you are going to get the play, when you come across the middle, guess who you're thinking about? Amen? Your mind's not there. Christian life is really not much different. Now, you're probably sitting there saying, my soul, man. We're talking about snot bubbles in a Christian life. Yeah, we were just talking about ripping flesh off by briars. We're doing better now, amen. Christian life's not much different. And we see that in Paul's life. I believe in our own life, in our Christian life, and as we can look at Paul's example here as a hero, we can see that we should set the tone in our Christian life, number one, with purpose. With purpose. Look in verse 16. Notice what the Bible says. In verse 16 of Acts chapter 26, the Bible tells us, but rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee, watch this, for this purpose. There wasn't a mistake. There wasn't an accident. This was the purpose that Paul was given. There was a purpose that he was saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and he was sent out. Just like Solomon said, there's a purpose for every season under the heaven. There was a purpose for Paul except in Jesus Christ, and God was telling him about it. This is the purpose to send you out into the world. One of my wife's first memory verses she ever learned was Daniel 1:8. But Daniel purposed in his heart. See, beloved, if you don't purpose in your heart, you'll never plan. And if you don't plan, you'll never prosper. And if you don't, you'll never preach the word of God. Preacher, you little young preacher boys, you better, this is alliteration. You write these things down, amen. I'm telling you, if you're going to want to witness to someone in Walmart or witness to someone in the restaurant, if you go into that restaurant without a purpose, you'll never witness to them. Dr. Scotty Drake always would say that he who aims at nothing hits his target every single time.
Yeah, that's right.
Beloved, there's got to be a purpose today. Look in Acts 26 again with me. Look down in verse 19 where Paul says, "Whereupon, O King Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout all the coast of Judea and then to the Gentiles that they should repent and turn to God and do works meet for repentance." In verse 20, you have 14 years wrapped up in one little paragraph. Beloved, Paul, he set the tone from day one. The moment he received his sight, the moment he was baptized and strengthened, he went forth preaching that Jesus was the Christ. Acts 9:19 tells us when he had received meat, was strengthened, then was Saul certain days of the disciples which were at Damascus. He was purposed in his preaching. Now, this is a side note, won't cost you anything, but between Acts chapter 9, verses 19 and verse 21, between verses 20 and 22, you have about a 40-day period. It's believed that Paul went into Arabia and received the revelation from the Lord Jesus Christ, just as he promised on the road to Damascus that he was going to appear to him and tell him what he must do. It was there in this place in Arabia that Paul would receive the mystery that both Jew and Gentile would come under the same roof, under one Lord, under one Spirit, and one salvation by one blood. It was here where Paul would receive the mystery that the rapture of the church, by the way, the pre-tribulational rapture of the church. I don't know what crazy thing's going on over here, but I'm hearing more and more and more people are walking out the back door believing about some of this pre-wrath, pre-kingdom, pre-whatever. I mean, my soul, man, get your head out of the sand. Amen. Can I tell you something? The church has never been intended to go through. I'm speaking to the preacher, to the choir. You guys know this, my soul. But I mean, the church has never intended to go through the tribulation period. It's for Israel. And guess what? Here's a news break. You're not Israel, amen.
Right.
Nor have you replaced Israel, bless God.
Right.
Paul wrote in Galatians chapter 1, verses 15 through 18. He said, "But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb," that's the only verse he mentions his mama, "and called me by his grace," verse 16, "to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And after 3 years, I went to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. After that, Paul was sent down to Tarsus for about 10 years. Then he spent a year there in Antioch. And finally, 14 years after him being saved, went on his first mission journey, his first mission trip. Beloved, I'm here to say today, Paul was purposed in when he was preaching Christ. He got saved and he didn't sit around and say, "Well, let me see what happens. Let me just see, let me find the will of God in my life."
Yeah.
He had a purpose, my friend. He set the tone, and this is living and ministering with purpose. Going out into through these doors, going out into this world with a purpose in your heart and a purpose in your head. Beloved, we need to set the tone with purpose. Secondly, we need to set the tone with power. Look at verse 18, our text verse here in Acts chapter 26. Verse 18, the Bible says here that the Lord is speaking to Paul. It says to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan, watch this, unto God. In other words, hey, from the power of Satan unto the power of God, my friend. Listen, the reality of the great gift that Paul received that day came into his heart. He realized really and truly what Jesus did for him. And because he did it for him, he knew he had done it for the whole world. And therefore, he went forth. He wasn't willing to play around. He understood that there was power in the preaching of the gospel of Christ. We know that by Romans chapter 1, verse 16. Guys, you don't have to come up with a seven steps trick to lure somebody into being saved. Just preach the gospel. It's been working for 2,000 years. It'll keep working until Christ comes back. Amen. Paul didn't sit idly by the side and watch life pass by. Paul didn't sit around by the side and allow the adversary to set the pace for the race. He set the tone, amen. He was able to say at the end of his time, I've kept the faith. Listen, I finished my course, not your course, not mine, but he finished his course. Why? Because he didn't let the devil, the adversary, set the pace. There's so many people in churches today, and they come to the precious knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they'll taste of that heavenly gift and be partakers of the greatest gift ever given to mankind. All the knowledge and with all that they know, and they'll do nothing with it. They'll just sit there, and they'll just sit there. And they'll get in their car, and they'll go home, and they'll have lunch, and then they'll sit there. And then they'll get in the car, and they'll come back to church, and they'll take more of that beautiful Word of God in, and then they'll sit there, and then they'll go back home, and they'll sit there. And all week, they'll sit there, come to Wednesday service, and they'll sit there. And before you know it, months go by, and weeks go by, and years go by, and you get into your own pace, you get set in your own ways, and you're living without purpose. And before you know it, you don't even know that the power that came into you the day you were saved is still inside. You're untapping, not tapping into the power that God's given us. Paul tells us that we wrestle not with flesh and blood. With the same hand and pen, Paul said, put on the armor of God. Talk about a man, someone who's not afraid to talk about getting into a fight, be it a spiritual fight or a physical fight in that matter. He said, fight the good fight. You know what Paul said, that to fight a good fight? He indicates that you can fight a bad fight. If you've ever followed boxing, you've seen people fight bad fights. If you are any kind of sports fan whatsoever, you see some times when some teams who just get blown out. Matter of fact, I don't follow basketball. The last thing I heard was that Cleveland got swept this thing. They didn't fight a good fight, apparently. I don't know. Don't come to me after church and correct me, because I really don't know. I didn't watch one basketball game. But you know, I'm just saying that we don't realize really and truly what Christ has given us. We know he gave us salvation. Praise God for that. But he's given you something that he didn't give anybody else. It's time for believers to start playing offense. It's time for believers to stand up for the Word of God and set the tone from jump, if you will. Yes. Somebody want to see the miracles. Pastor had taught on that here in Sunday school class. And they didn't follow because of the miracles. They followed because of a free meal. And we know that. We understand it. We see people today, and man, I tell you what, we are inundated by charismatics over in the UK. I mean, before you wouldn't even believe how many. So awful in their doctrine. Pastor is talking about these quarterlies that are sent out with this false doctrine that's being taught, and it's just little by little, it's trickling and trickling and trickling. Before you know it, a generation goes by, and people are absolutely clueless. I sat down with a 10-year-old boy the other day, and I asked him if he knew who Jesus Christ was. He said, yeah. I said, do you know what he came to do? And he goes, well, he died, didn't he? I said, well, do you know how he died? And he sat there, and he worked his little brain to death. Couldn't tell me how Jesus died. I said, well, he was crucified on a cross. He goes, oh, yeah. I said, do you know why? He says, no. I said, do you believe it? And he did this. That's what we have today. We're not having the extremes that the pendulums are swung way over here that it's so anti. What we're having is numbness in the middle. And they're lulling us to sleep. And you say, whose fault is it? It's our fault. It ain't God's fault. It ain't the lost fault. They're just doing what comes natural, amen? Listen, if you stick your hand in a cage where a tiger is and he bites it off, that's not the tiger's fault, amen? That's your fault. Don't put your hand in a cage, right, with a tiger. They're just doing what comes natural. They're just like you. Before you got saved, you did what comes natural, amen. You know, my friend, people want to see the dead raised, and they want to see the sick healed, and I do too. I get all that. Jesus Christ said, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, but greater works than these shall he do, because I go to my Father. He wasn't talking about laying on of hands, speaking in tongues, backflips and aisle. He wasn't talking about that. He was talking about the great work of sharing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ and the soul being eternally changed, their destination eternally altered. Man, it's one thing, guys, to see somebody come back from a physical sickness. That's a blessing, praise God. And we should pray for those things. I believe in all my heart we should. And I believe God heals. Yes. I really do, in all my heart. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather see a soul healed for eternity before I ever want a headache taken away. Amen? Yes. Christians today have lost a purpose because they're not tapping into the power. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And then he says, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry here in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. He's given us a power called the Holy Spirit of God that we can go forward into this world today with purpose and see a whole society come to Christ if we're willing to do that which is right before the eyes of God. Beloved, Paul set the tone with power. He set the tone with the power that comes from above. And we do. Guys, we live in a world that's passive, and I understand that. Many of us sit around and allow sinners to walk over us, and I see it every time, every day. We allow our governments to be changed by sinners and by the lost. And we think that we can coax sinners. We think that we can lure in them. We think we can reason with the devil. When you stop and you think about the religion of today and you think about the majority of the popular church of today, they're not trying to bring conviction by the Holy Spirit of God. They're not living with purpose to bring the power of the Holy Spirit of God in their heart. They're trying to talk people into making a decision.
Yeah.
Trying to reason with the devil. Winston Churchill said that you cannot reason with a tiger with your head in his mouth. Beloved, I'm trying to say to this today that we have a purpose in this world. We have a purpose that is fortified with power, and we need to set the tone. With all that said, with every thought, every understanding that we just mentioned, I understand that we need to set the tone with purpose and with power today. But can I say this to you, and I'll be done here in just a few minutes. That purpose and that power is completely pointless if we don't understand that we're to set the tone with people. With people.
Yes.
Verse 17 in our same text, the Bible says, deliver thee from the people and from the Gentiles, unto whom now I send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God. Can you see it with me this morning? I mean, can you see it with me now why and how Paul was so dedicated, so diligent, so determined to fulfill that which he was called to do? The purpose of Christ coming to this earth was to seek and to save that which is lost. Meaning this, he who possessed all power in heaven and earth had a purpose to save, guess what? People. Amen. He didn't come to this earth to save your pet dog. Amen. I know you love your pet dog, and that's fine. You know, love them now, but they're not going to heaven. I'm sorry. I hate to break that news to you. Now, somehow there's going to be horses up there. I mean, you know, but I can't explain that one yet, but I'm a horse lover, so there you go. Maybe I'm looking at it from a skewed vision. I don't know. A lot of churches have closed today. Thousands upon thousands of churches in the United Kingdom build and sit empty or become pubs, or become restaurants, or become gymnasiums, or become flats and apartments. They become these things. You know why? Do you know why churches closed? Our first remark is, well, bless God, because everybody's just a bunch of sinners. Well, yeah, that's what we are. We're all sinners. The Bible tells us that. They're closed because of no people.
Right.
That's the whole purpose in this thing. I mean, guys, this is what it's always been about. It's been about people, about souls, about lives, about men, women, and children, about neighbors and co-workers and of every skin color, of every nation, every tongue, every tribe under the sky today. That is the key. And that's what Paul saw. That's what Paul saw when he was purposed to do what God called him to do. He wasn't purposed to build a kingdom. He was purposed with power from on high to see people saved. Listen, Paul was not purposed to build fame, but he was purposed with power from on high to see people born again. Paul wasn't purposed to build a better you. He was purposed to, with power from on high to see people saved, my friend. He wasn't a purpose for a 10-step program. He was purposed with power from high to see souls enter into heaven. Society has become locked away. I mean, this is the element that if you will grab a hold of this morning, this is what we must lock into in the Christian world today, is to be purposed. The reason of our existence, the reason you and I are still here today, are people in this world. You know, I don't know if you've noticed in the past couple of decades, but doors are closed today in neighborhoods. Blinds are pulled. When souls walk down the pavement or down the sidewalk, their eyes are always looking down toward the floor. Very few people today look at one another and say hello or how you doing or this and that. Very few. I mean, the adversary has been so successful in what he has done No one speaks to one another anymore. People send text messages. They send posts. They do those things. You know, one of my son's phone rang one day, and they didn't know what to do with it. I was like, you got to answer it. Answer what? I'm like, oh, hello. Oh, somebody's on the inside. I mean, what the adversary has been successful about is removing humanity from humans.
Yeah.
That's what he's done. I mean, we've become an image of our choice on social media. Nothing but data, nothing but code that is written, adjusting our hurting lives into what we want to portray. Satan's purpose was very simple. Just remove humanity from humans. Apathy is the result. As long as there are codes rather than compassion between one another, our hearts are going to remain untouched. Our hearts are going to grow colder and harder with every click and every scroll. Beloved, we need to set the tone. Not your neighbor, not the church down the street, but every individual in this pew this morning, every soul that names the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we need to set the tone. We need to knock the snot bubbles out of Satan and everything else that he works for. That's what we need to do. And if you're sitting there today, you're thinking, oh, preacher, I'm a little bit afraid of that. I don't know why you're afraid. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. Amen. I mean, we have the power. We need to understand that we have the power. It is the purpose, because people are at stake. Eternal souls are at stake, some of which will have one opportunity to come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Your coworker tomorrow that you're sat next to for years on end, tomorrow may be the only opportunity that the Holy Spirit of God ever affords for them to hear the gospel and for them to make that decision. It's important that we understand that everybody doesn't get a multitude of chances. Everybody doesn't get the opportunity to hear the free pardon of sin. Now, maybe you're here today. Maybe you're here this morning and you're at the crossroads. Maybe you're at that place where, you know, preacher, I've been a sinner all my life. Maybe you've done all kinds of great good, and maybe you've done all kinds of great bad. It doesn't matter what you've done, bad or good, in your life today. The Lord died for you. He died for me. He died for every one of us, that we may come to accept that free pardon of sin and go to heaven. Amen. Churchill said, success is not final, failure is not fatal. It is the courage to continue that counts. Amen. I know we get moved by things in this world today, and things don't go the way we want them to, and we see polls in the news media and the left wing this and all this and that. Guys, listen, we got a purpose greater than the news media. We got a purpose greater than the talking points. We got a purpose greater than the lefties over there. We got a purpose today that's filled with the power of the Holy Spirit of God, and it's for people. That's who's at stake. See, the option here is yours today. The choice is yours. If you're here today and you're saved and born again, you've got a choice to make. You either accept that purpose, tap into that power that's been in you from the day that you were saved, and understand that the people that you love, your coworkers, your neighbors, your cousins, your moms, your dads, your sons, your daughters, whomever it may be, it's their souls that are at stake today, whether or not you pick up that banner. Amen. With purpose. If you're here this morning and you know not the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, the only purpose that you're here for today is to hear that Jesus Christ loved you so much that he died for you personally. And every time that hammer hit that nail, every moment that Jesus Christ was scourged upon his back, he had you in mind. Not just an idea, but he had you personally in mind. For that's the purpose. And that's the power that saves. But it's the people that we're here to change. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we come before you today and we ask you, Lord, to take your time of invitation as we turn it over to the pastor. And Lord, we pray that you make a difference in people's lives, dear God. I pray that we as a body of believers, Lord, would, dear God, that we would wake up, that we'd be willing to set the tone right here, right now, to make a difference, Lord, from the moment we walk out of these four walls into the community. Lord, we would, with great diligence and determination, take that power that you've given from on high so that people may come to know you. Father, help us set the tone now. And I pray, dear God, if it's one soul here today who needs you as Savior, convict their heart this very moment. Bring them forward. Help them, Lord God, to be ushered in by thy heavenly grace. In Jesus Christ's name we pray.
Let's stand, please, with our heads bowed just a moment. Preachers preach to us on purpose. There was a day he saw a bigger purpose than he had, that he'd spent his life getting educated to help others physically, but then he saw a bigger purpose. Purpose of the soul, of eternity, of sins forgiven. All of us do some things on purpose, but there's no greater purpose if we're saved than to get the message to others, as you heard preached this morning. We're all guilty in these sad, tragic times we live in, when the world's technology presents the whole burden of the world, as it were, in our living rooms for us to look at. But if we're not careful, we'll look at all that and miss the purpose of reaching our neighbor or our relative or a loved one. That's still the greatest purpose of all. Maybe the Lord's spoken to you this morning and helped you to see that your purpose is not big enough. The cause you're following is not big enough. The cause of Christ is the greatest of all. If you're here today and you're unsaved, I don't know what else you might be involved in, but I'll tell you this, it's all temporary. You'll leave it all behind unless you have an eternal purpose, an eternal value that rises above all that men call important today. This morning, we give you an invitation to leave that pew and come forward and receive Christ as your Savior. Once you have done that, then you've got a purpose that's above this world, above the things that's going to pass away. We invite you to come receive Christ this morning. We'll take a Bible and show you how you can leave this building today, rejoicing that if I died today, I'd go to heaven. And in a little while, God will use you to tell somebody else what happened to you and how they can go to heaven. That's the greatest purpose still. I'm going to ask Brother Hector to lead us in an invitation verse. And whatever God's asked you to do, might be to join a church, might be to come to the altar to pray, might be to come receive Christ as Savior. You do what God's asked you to do. You come as we sing.
Just as I am with.
As others step out, will you come?
But that.
Would you ask yourself a question this morning? What's the greatest purpose in my life?
And
what moves me, motivates me, gets me going? What do I care about the most?
Just as I am and wait.
If you'd like to be saved and know it, know that your name is written in heaven, just come down here and we'll take the Bible and show you how you can know, how you can be sure. Whosoever shall come unto me, I will in no wise cast out. He'll never turn you down.
Just as
you can turn him down, but he won't turn you down if you'll come to him.
Tossed about with many a conflict, many a doubt, fightings and fears with. God, I come.
You know, I've always heard, Brother Stagner, that whatever happens in England pretty soon happens in America. We kind of follow along a little bit behind. You know, the negative stuff in England, and I've been over there. I remember we couldn't find a church to go to and found an empty building, a Baptist church building. Found the janitor still keeping it up. No services being held. And we got him to open up the building for Sunday night service. We went out and knocked some doors around the neighborhood. And what you said a while ago about the windows, the blinds being pulled, people not talking to you. America's getting that way right now. Apathy. Don't get involved. Don't stand for anything. Don't speak up. Don't offend nobody. Right? That's what you've been hearing all the time. What we were doing that evening was so odd till some come out of curiosity to see what was going on, that the old building was being opened up. And we actually had a pretty good little handful and a pretty good service. And I thought, all we got to do in America is do nothing. That's what's going to happen to us. Just go to sleep. Don't care. Let it go. And brother, this building here, through all the years and all the work and all the ministry and all the sacrifice, it could die a lot quicker than it was built. The day could be the doors would be shut or they'd turn it into an apartment building. If they do, my ghost will come back and haunt them. I'll guarantee you that. But all it'd do is for us to just go to sleep and quit. Well, it's not so important. I've done that before. We had camp before. We had our midsummer. Everybody leave before. We just, you know, later on we'll get revived. Sometimes you don't later on get revived. You just get deader. Let's don't do that, folks. I appreciate the missionary coming back to tell us what's most important, what our purpose ought to be. We don't lose sight of that. I hate the liberal politics. I fuss about them. But there's a bigger purpose. That's reaching souls. That's reaching souls. Let's not forget that. Amen. All right. Thank you, folks. Thank you, preacher.